Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. Welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always, always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, you know, we often hear two diametrically opposed messages, one in one ear, one in the other. One is hustle, hustle, drive, strive, do it more. And the other message is slow down, do less. What if you were so secure in your relationship with God and so sure of what He's asking you to do that you were able to settle in, settle down, and embrace the grace to fill your space and run your race? I didn't mean for that to be a rhyme, but what if you were able to do that? How might life change for you if you'd settled into the groove that God has for you, where you were even at times content to be misunderstood because your yes is yes and your no is no? Heather McFadden joins me today to talk about her book, Right Where You Belong, How to Identify and Fully Occupy Your God-Given Space. We've got 5 copies to give away today. So if you're feeling a little stuck or if you're feeling a little out of sync with you feel what you think is God's highest and best for you, you can text the word book to 877-933-2484. Let me give that to you again, 877-933-2484. And it's been a while since I've asked for a question for you. I mean, asked for an answer to one of my questions so that you can engage with me. So I'm going to ask you this. How would you describe your current season in life calling? Do you feel stuck? Do you feel like you're moving fully in your calling? Do you feel like you're off course by a couple of degrees, like you're doing a good thing, but maybe not the best? How would you just describe where you're at in your current life season as it relates to your calling? I'd love to know. Okay, a couple quick announcements before we hear from Heather. We would love to pray for you, and we've got a very active prayer ministry behind the scenes. Our team loves to pray. On our website, myfaithradio.com, you'll find a link that says, Let Us Pray For You. Just click on that. Let us know how we can pray for you, and we will follow through. Also, you got to know, there's these two-minute features that I've been doing. You're going to hear them intermittently on Faith Radio, but they're also podcasts. So if you hear them, they're all about your calling. It's called Grow and Go, a Grow and Go moment. So you can find those where all podcasts are played. Grow and Go with Suzy Larson. I pray you find some encouragement there. These just launched, so they're just 2 minutes long. But if you need some encouragement along your day, check them out. Grow and Go. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Heather McFadden is the host of the popular parenting podcast, Don't Mom Alone, with more than 18 million downloads from around the globe, as well as the author of the book, Don't Mom Alone. She finds great joy in connecting other women to mentors and experts through her podcast and in speaking at live events with women across the country. She and her husband and their 4 sons live in Dallas, Texas. And she realized right before the show that I was on her podcast several years ago. So it's sort of a full circle moment. Heather, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Suzy, for having me. It's good to be with you.
Yeah, looking forward to the conversation. So let's start here. What has God been speaking to you about these days?
Man, I feel like every day is a fresh word, right? But yesterday, after I had been talking with friends about you, which is so crazy that I didn't even look at how we were going to be talking today, we spent some time just listening to God and bringing some of the lies we've been believing to Him. And for me, I realized I had been thinking about a lot of lies related to my kids. I'm in that season of motherhood where it's just middle schoolers and high schoolers and challenges, and some lies started popping up, and I wrote them down, and I saw a theme that my behavior has created my boys' behavior. That was the lie I was believing. And I was just like, I know that's not truth. I know that I do have influence and it's an important role, but I think we start drawing these false lines of influence and power in places and almost carry some guilt and shame, whether it's our workplace or whether it's another place of influence. And so I just asked God, can you show me what's true? And He revealed, He said, if anyone is in Christ, He's a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come, from 1 Corinthians 5:17, that my kids aren't in me. They're in Christ because they have thankfully all professed faith. I'm not the creator. God is. I'm not making them be a certain way. but God is remaking them. And so it just released a lot of the pressure that I was inadvertently taking ownership of things that weren't mine to own. And so that was what God was talking to me about yesterday.
Well, somebody needed to hear that today, Heather. And somebody, if you're that somebody listening, I need you to text me an amen. Give me an amen. So, Heather, I would love a little backstory on your faith journey, specifically as it relates to how you discovered God's grace to fill your space and run your race.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in the church. My parents did not. They had two sets of kids, basically, same marriage, but two kids. And then 11 years later, they had me and my younger brother. And I think my faith journey, I got the parents who'd already done the legalism thing. And so they embraced grace more, and they were also older parents. And so I think that was a part of their story. But still, I was a performer and an achiever, and I think I did try to earn my way a lot of times to be the good Christian for a lot of my childhood. And it was, I think, in college where I just had to have my come-to-Jesus moment of recognizing I can't keep doing this all on my own. And then I think again with young kids, just getting to the end of myself and realizing I need God and I need Him to show up. And I think even in places of suffering, honestly, I've seen His way through when there seemed to be no way through. And so, yeah, lots of different ways. I feel like it's a layer of understanding grace. And I'm sure there's many layers yet to come.
Isn't that true for all of us? Wow. When you talk about, you say your book is an invitation for us to live right-sized. What do you mean there?
So I feel like there's a lot of energy and mental focus on wondering if we're doing it right, wondering if we're enough, wondering if we're missing out. And I feel like God has given us some kind limits and limitations that if we would really just look at them and steward what He's given us to steward, we would find that contentment we're looking for and that peace. And I say right size, it's kind of like a company that right sizes or to match their output. They hire or fire people depending on the needs of the company. It's kind of like looking at the space you've been given. Are you filling it? Are you shrinking back out of fear? Or are you overstepping out of maybe you're wanting to control other people's spaces, or you're trying to be God for your space? And so right sizing is finding that happy middle of doing what God's asking you to do or being who God's asking you to be and trusting Him outside of that space. Something bigger going on.
Mm-hmm. As you're talking, I'm thinking somebody listening today has to fire their inner critic. You know, if you're looking at, you know, let's say you're in management of a company and you're downsizing and, you know, that you've got somebody who's toxic on staff, you know, the toxicity is that inner critic who's constantly poking at you and to live right size. I also think there's something so beautiful. I wrote about this as well in a different book, but about respecting our limits and then calling on a God who has no limits. I think we either grind our gears to the point of exhaustion and we get so burnt out that we shrink back and lock our elbows and our boundaries become almost self-serving out of trauma. Like, I can't ever go back there again. Or if we can, in a healthy way, recover and go, okay, I respect that I have limits. I need a bedtime. But my God never sleeps and He has no limits. So within the confines of my limits, God, I'm asking you, do what only you can do. That to me is the sweet spot. Don't you? I sense that you're picking that up as well in your book.
You said it better than I could have written. That's exactly Yes.
I
just
love
feel
that
like that is on the faith journey. You get to that place and you're like, oh man, you see God's hand and how He's woven things together that you couldn't even have imagined if you'd hustled or if you'd tried to use your networks or you tried to make happen. And so, yeah, 100% that.
Oh, this is what you say. I think it's beautiful. God wants us to feel peace. He wants us to drop the need to hustle. He wants us to increase our faith, trusting that He's in control, and to know we'll never miss out if we are in the middle of His sovereign will for us. And that is another, that FOMO, that fear of missing out, is something that drives us outside of God's will for us. And it's the social media comparison and proving and striving, but to kind of settle in to go, I'm in the middle of His sovereign will. I don't want to be anywhere else. And talk about, Heather, how you make course adjustments, because I think it's for all of us where you're in as well, but all of a sudden, you know, the season changes, the tide might change, and you're grinding your gears or something, and you go, okay, this doesn't feel right. Talk about how you identify those moments when you're moving into striving or hustle, where God's asking you to settle back into the flow of just his provision for you.
Yeah, I think we all go through seasons, right, where we do maybe have to work a little harder and more time is required of us to do something versus be something or just, you know, be present. And I think what I love about as I was working through this book and thinking through it was this is a journey with God. And so it's you intimately communicating with your maker on the path he has for you. And it's like that lamp for our feet. It's a moment to moment. And we can't say, okay, now I've got the next 5 miles planned out. It's like, he wants dependence. He doesn't need you to do the work that he's doing, but he's inviting you in. And it's like, what is he inviting me into right now at the grocery store? What is he inviting me into in this moment? And that is what I would, if someone walked away from the whole conversation, it would be, how can I be intimately connected with my maker and following his lead?
We're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to talk about how a big part of occupying your God-given space is defining the boundaries of your space. We'll unpack that in detail. But right now, I want to read from Mary. She says, I'm in an in-between place financially and need God's direction for income. He's always provided and he always will. I need to know the best next step for me to take. And so, Lord, I pray for Mary that wisdom's path would be peace for her, that she would just sense your voice, hear your voice, say, this is the way, walk in it. I also pray, God, that you bring her some unexpected provision, Lord, out of nowhere, that she doesn't expect, just a kiss from heaven. God, would you do that for Mary? And Melissa says, I'm moving into a season of ministering to new church members through personal meetings and corporately through Wednesday Bible studies while starting a new aspect of my business through fundraising with scripture gifts like tumblers and t-shirts. And to youth groups, wow, girl, you are busy. Father, I pray a blessing of multiplication through Melissa, and I pray for a blessing of sweet rest as well. Heather McFadden is my guest today. Her book, Right Where You Belong, How to Identify and Fully Occupy Your God-Given Space. So do you sense, friend, that you're in your God-given space? Or do you feel like I was, but now it's suddenly feeling not like a fit? Or maybe I'm stuck. How do you feel? I would love to know where you're at today. Text me, 877-933-2484. And if you want in on the drawing, you got a stack of copies to give away. Once more, text the word book to 877-933-2484. Back in a minute. This is Suzy Larson, host of Suzy Larson Live. I don't know about you, but I love consistent nourishment. I love to fast on occasion. There's a purpose in that. But if you go too long without eating on a regular basis because you're too busy, your body actually goes into crisis mode. Well, in the same way, your soul, your spirit, they need nourishment too. And that's why it's so important to be listening to scripture, listening to good teaching on a consistent basis throughout the day. That's why we're here. We love what we do, and we want to do it with you. If you listen on the radio, on the terrestrial signal, we encourage you, download our free Faith Radio app. That way, if you're traveling this season, you can take us with you wherever you go. You can catch the live shows or even the podcast after the fact. And we've made it easier than ever. All you have to do is text the word app to 877-933-2484 and then click the link. I hope you will walk with us on this journey. Greater things are yet to be done in and all around us because God, well, he's on the move. I pray you're having a beautiful day. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to Heather McFadden, who's written a new book titled Right Where You Belong, How to Identify and Fully Occupy Your God-Given Space. If you feel stuck or you feel like, you know what, I want to get into the groove and the flow of God's supernatural will for me so that I have no problem saying the no's that I need to say no to so I can say yes to the things God's inviting me to, and you need a little help with that, you can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. If you've got a question even about this topic, go ahead and text that in a separate text. So, Heather, you say that there are four aspects of our lives that we need to look at defining the boundaries of our space: time, place, wiring, and experience. So we're going to kind of touch these in short, and then we'll kind of dig in a little deeper. Time, your position in this moment in history. What say you?
So these come from the concept of like a place, right? The boundary lines of Israel. And so I think with time, God has given us this limit that he is obviously outside of. And we have been given in a lot of different ways. And I think when we think of it, we need to look at, okay, our time in history, our time, our season right now, how are we having trouble with time management? And so with each of these boundary lines, to like take them to God and say, what's unique in my decision or what I'm struggling with in this aspect, in this boundary line of time? And so for each person, it's asking God, God, what about time is unique for me right now?
All right. And place, your physical environment.
So the place would be, you know, maybe it's your city, your state, your neighborhood, your place of position or power or ministry. What actual physical contact do you have? Is it a grocery store? Is it a post office?
Okay. And wiring, your unique personality, interests, and gifts.
So we all are made so differently, and it's awesome. And so how were you uniquely wired? One question to ask is, what did you love to do as a child? What do people come to you for that you maybe dismiss as important? And we look at, because God didn't make a mistake in making you, even if maybe it's been mislabeled your whole life. So that's the wiring piece.
An experience, your challenges and joys.
So this, at challenges and joys, I put that because sometimes we think of experiences and it's the hard things we've walked through, whether it's a diagnosis or abuse or wounds. It can also be some gifts that God's given you, some experiences that you have that could hold out hope for other people who haven't had those experiences. So kind of chronicling a lot of the things that God brings to mind for you.
Okay. Well, in the book, you tell this amazing story of when your mom at 16 years old got pregnant. Tell us about that string of events and how it profoundly impacted your life.
Yeah, I think with that time boundary line, it's interesting to consider what had to come into place for you to even exist. And do we often forget to thank God for our existence? Because maybe your story was tragic. Maybe it was hard. Maybe it came out of pain or sin or tragedy, but you're here. And so in my storyline, my mom and my dad, she was 16, my dad was 20, and they actually eloped they went down to Kentucky from Indiana, and my grandparents discovered that they were going to elope, that my mom was pregnant at the time with my sister. And they called all the judges in the area and the town. When they found the judge who was about to marry them, they said, you need to put my dad in prison because he is over 18 and they do not have our permission. And they asked to put my mom in foster care. Mm. They then drove down, and the person in charge of the foster care system was this psych intern. And he convinced my grandparents to let my parents get married. And my parents were married 55 years, wow. 16 years after that conversation, they had me. But I think it's this interesting, I will never know that psych intern's name. I don't even know if he's alive still. His one conversation with my parents had a ripple effect that profoundly impacted my life, my existence. And so what was that for you? Bring that to God. Thank him for that. I just think it's amazing. It's amazing when we look at the strings of time and place of our life, and the amazing hand God has in all of it.
Yeah, I mean, you think about, your parents were intent on sending her out of town. That baby would be given up for adoption, and God can redeem those stories too. But in this case, that one intern convinced your parents to let these two get married, and they lived happily married for 55 years or something, I think you said. I mean, really just startling. And so you had two older sisters, and then your other.
Yeah, and that sister that came out of that pregnancy that my mom was going to put up for adoption but didn't, she in the future, she adopted her first child from a teen pregnancy. And so it's just God's hand in redeeming all things and even the hard things.
Wow. Okay, here's another excerpt. You say, one way we can occupy our God-given space is to believe there's no mistake or accident when God decides to place us at this moment in time. Even if you never know the purpose, the connection between your existence and what God is working together for his bigger plan matters more than your understanding. Say more about that.
We just have limited vision. And what's really hard right now, or what you're waiting on right now, you've met these people who've walked through hard things, and then they look back on their story and they're like, oh man, I couldn't see then, but now I see what God was doing, or what he was developing in me here, and that thing I needed for this later thing. And to walk by faith, to me, is that peace, is to trust nothing is wasted in God's economy. And even in the hardest of hearts, we can trust that he's doing a work for his good.
Another thing that you talk about is, you say one aspect of occupying our God-given space is to trust that no matter the current season, there are reasons we haven't moved to the next one yet. While we move through chronological time, we learn to trust God's timing. Maybe speak to that person listening today who feels like he's either late or he's lost their address, but it seems like he's silent and not moving whatsoever, even though they're pressing in and trying to listen for his voice.
Yeah, I think that statement came after a story of seeing what happens when snow falls and the leaves haven't fallen yet, and how all these branches were snapping on trees and trees were falling over from the weight, and not, and realizing, oh, there's an order of things in nature for the protection of nature. And so we don't know what we're being protected from if we try to rush and escape one season to get to the next. And God is kind, even in what seems like misery and waiting. I just think if you're in that place, waiting for his deliverance is a gift. Paul and Silas in prison come to mind. I don't know if we're going to talk about that, but them waiting, and in their waiting, they were praising and praying because they saw right where they were, there were disciples to be made. They knew who God was outside that space. They weren't questioning, why are we here? I think we waste a lot of energy on the why. Was it the enemy? Is it God? Is it our choices? It's like, well, what are we going to do with, instead of the why, it's the how do we experience this? And theirs was praise. And then God did. He shook the earth. The walls fell down, but they didn't leave. That's what I thought was interesting when I was reading it. They didn't immediately leave. They stayed. And the guard is saved. And his family is saved and follows Jesus. And then the guard says, go in peace. And I think if we wait, we move into that next season with peace instead of, again, this feeling of hustling and escape.
Hmm. Yeah, my retired pastor friend says, you're not free to go till you're free to stay. And I think there's times that we want to go for relief, or we want to stay for comfort. And neither of those are faith actions, right? There's times when you're like, I only want to leave because relief, and then it takes more faith to stay. Or I only want to stay because I'm afraid of risk, and it takes more faith to go. And
That's good. That's really good.
Well, what do you say to that person who's in that place? What would be the advice other than, okay, I need to stay. I'm going to wait. I'm going to trust God's timing. Worship him. Anything else that you'd say to them to help them navigate this? Because it's not going to be like this forever.
No.
God is faithful. He's going to move. So how do you encourage their heart in the meantime?
Yeah, I was talking to a friend who's just come out of pancreatic cancer and then just had another blip again. And she would said that every day of treatment, her mom would write on a board, this too shall pass. You know, it's this encouragement is the truth. It's not Pollyanna. The encouragement isn't, oh, be happy. You should just praise in prayer. It's how can I let God be, and another friend said this, my hope and stay. My hope and stay is not what I wish I was experiencing, not my current reality. My hope and stay is God, and God is present right here. And I get to choose how I respond to this experience. That's my choice. That's my freedom. My last human freedom is the response. And so if you're in that place, how can you steward it? And to me, stewarding is everything to do with your thinking. What thoughts are you thinking? And can you surrender those and take the lies captive and ask God for truth that you can hold on to? Who's surrounding you that can build you up in those times? Because sometimes we isolate.
Yeah.
Because we falsely believe nobody else understands. And I don't think that's true at all. I think the enemy wants us to believe that.
Got a hard break. We'll be back in just a moment. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live, talking to Heather McFadden today about her book, Right Where You Belong, How to Identify and Fully Occupy Your God-Given Space. And in a little bit, we'd love to pray for you. So I want to just know, send in your prayer requests, and as it relates especially to the sense of your calling. What are the obstacles right now, or the things that feel like challenges? Maybe you've got a health challenge or a financial challenge. We want to stand with you and maybe just give some thoughts and insights on helping you navigate. So why don't you text those in now and let those start coming in, and we're going to talk to you a little bit more about the content of the book, and then we'll pray for you. 877-933-2484. And if you want in on the drawing, remember, we've got 5 copies of Heather's book, Right Where You Belong, and a subtitle, How to Identify and Fully Occupy Your God-Given Space. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. And Heather, some of us are wired to dwell on the past, while others are wired to kind of live every day thinking about the future. What advice do you have for both parties, you know, as far as how to keep staying in the present moment and why it matters?
Yeah, when I was thinking about this God-given space, I thought, you know, the only thing we have that we can control in a given moment is the present moment. That is what we have been given. That word present can also mean a gift, right? A present. And so we've been given this present of the moment. And I think if we're someone who dwells too much on the past, it is a little bit of a challenge, but maybe something you need to focus in on is, okay, how can I let those things go and ask God to draw my eyes to what he needs from me right now, or the future, same thing. And I think it's going to be a stretch for both sides to meet in the middle. And some people, it's easier to be in the present moment. I get that too. But I feel like it's almost another place of faith to trust God right now instead of thinking on either extreme.
Yeah, I so agree. I mean, I'm not someone who lives in the past, although I think it really, if you're feeling pulled back again and again, maybe there's something in your past that God wants to heal. And then I would talk to a counselor or a therapist about it, because sometimes it's like a bow where he pulls you back so he can launch you forward. But I think another way you get stuck in the past is just rehearsing bad things that have happened with no intent of wrestling through them to get to the other side. And that is such a waste of time, treasure, and talent. So I'm praying you feel challenged. But also, if you're someone who projects fears into the future, it's the same thing, that the enemy's trying to keep you out of the present moment. So I love this. You said, not only do we carry the presence of God with us wherever we go, but there's no place we go where we're not surrounded by God. In the book, you talk about, let's go back to the wiring, and you list some of the gifts from Scripture, and there's different personality tests. What have you learned as it relates to people finding their God-given, you know, assignment for this particular season of life as it relates to how we're wired?
Yeah, I think we're often not very aware of our gifting and our wiring. Maybe the next generation is a little better. They have a lot of online tests and quizzes that they take, but I meet a lot of women my age and older that are struggling they're like, I don't really know what my giftings are, whether it's spiritual or whether it's personality or whether it's actual skills that they've gained over the years. They struggle with that. And I know that God promised in his word, and we see all the different spiritual gifts and how we all work together as one body. And so I think I've learned when I meet with women and we really lean into this, and I ask some questions about that I mentioned earlier about their childhood or about what people come to them for, what lights them up, where's their passion, they start to see, oh, okay, that is how I'm gifted, and that's my wiring, and they can continue that conversation with God. And I love doing that. I think it's very exciting.
Well, here's a question that came in. How did Heather come to know her calling, given her wiring for communicating through writing and podcasting? Like, how did that awareness come to you, and how did you have the courage to take the next right steps?
Man, that's a longer story that's in the book. I was a pre-med bio major, actually, and I kind of wonder, why was I not a communications major? I ended up out of college as a teacher's aide in a school and decided to head towards speech-language pathology. And then that led me into a private practice there, which led me, I was home full time with 4 kids and started writing online about God kind of informing me more about who he is and how he made me through motherhood. And that writing online led to podcasting and then books. So it's my own journey of walking with God and trusting Him with how I've been made, and that nothing was wasted in that journey either.
In high school, I've lost touch with her, but one of my best friends in high school went on to med school, became a doctor, and she was friends with a gal that was going through nursing school, and she said the most interesting thing that I'll never forget. She said to the nurse, because she was second-guessing as she's walking through school, my friend said, just because God led you to nursing school doesn't mean for you to be a nurse. And, it's like we want always a straight line from A to B.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, if you led me to nursing school, then that's what we do. We go all the way through and we wonder why we're miserable, but that we have to stay flexible. So you were pre-med, and then somehow God leads you to start this mom podcast. I mean, how was that? I mean, did you have to overcome some fear giants to take the first steps? Did you have that inner critic going, what are you, nuts? I mean, tell me what that process
was.
You
know, I think the hard challenge was when I was writing online, I thought I was going to write a book, and the devastation of that season of rejection. It was an indirect rejection, but I had an agent who was very well known. And I was working on a book proposal for over 2 years because I had a newborn, a 2-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 6-year-old. And making time for that felt almost impossible. And finally did it. And then there was no space for a Christian mom book because they'd all been picked up and signed by different publishers. And so I was a little bit devastated. And so to take a risk and start a podcast in 2013 was almost like a reaction to that rejection, but God was like, oh no, this is my direction for you. This is a path you don't even know. Podcast.
Not plan B, right?
Thing.
Not plan
yeah.
B.
This is not plan B. This is not like a rebound move, you know, from a relationship. This is the direction I'm taking you on. And so I'm really thankful that I was willing to try. It didn't seem risky because not many people were podcasting and not many people were listening.
But in due time, they were. Yeah, you write this. One way the enemy keeps the wiring aspect of our space is underutilized. Hear this again, friend, and I see some prayer requests coming in. Keep them coming because in a little bit, we're going to pray for you. One of the ways the enemy keeps the wiring aspect of our spaces underutilized is by renaming a gift as a problem, something to push aside instead of something to refine. The best way to round out the corners of your giftedness is to meet with the giver. Ask him about how he made you and why. Heather, I don't know if you've run into this. I sure have, that people are almost afraid to be happy in their gifting and the call. Like, you know, there's been some message that it's like, unless he calls you to a third world country to eat ants and live on a dirt floor, you know, you're not serving God. And that's just not true. I mean, some people actually thrive and feel called to third world countries and they're like begging God, send me. Where others are like, I actually don't want to do that. But your calling is completely different. But we have this kind of subconscious thing that if I'm enjoying it, I must be out of God's will. I mean, have you noticed that?
Yeah, totally. And you know, one thing, even in the phrasing of calling, I think that feels really big, as if we have one for our whole life. And
Good point. Friend,
Kat Armstrong, she clarified something for me, and it's in the book that we as believers have the same calling to go and make disciples. And then throughout our lives, we have various assignments on how and where we do that. And that's very freeing. Because it's like, oh, okay, well, I could be in Africa at one point, but then I could be at Chick-fil-A the next. And neither one is wrong. And it frees you up. And also, but I think what you're saying, if you're wired and in love foreign culture and countries, and that's okay. Maybe God put some experiences in your life. I had a friend who grew up in Africa, and she was like, is it okay that I want to go back overseas and serve God? That feels easier to me than being in America. And I thought, that's his gift to you. That's his drawing up of boundary lines, that you had that experience and that's where you feel God and that's where you feel led. Yeah, follow that. That's not wrong that it feels easy for you.
Yeah. He gives good gifts to his children. And it's like, to me, I think when you're in that flow of the calling, you feel like I was made for this. Now, it's not to say there's not obstacles and enemy opposition, but you can navigate it. When you know you're in your calling, God's call and the sense of his presence and the sense of vision on your life is so much bigger than the enemy's sniveling opposition. So you can navigate and deal with it. But if you kind of wonder and are second guessing or you're preempting God's voice and trying to make something happen out of your ought tos and should dos, I don't know. I think when the enemy opposition comes, you start to second guess yourself, you know?
Yeah, totally. And I think, you know, with those spiritual gifts, I had wrote out some of mine in the book, and I was like, oh, why does this feel uncomfortable? And then I realized it shouldn't feel uncomfortable. They're spiritual gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's true of our personalities. That's true of what we love. They're given to us by God. Like you said, God gives good gifts. So we can't take credit for them. It actually is glorifying God when we show them off, because they point to the giver.
That's so good. One of the lines that jumped out at me at your book, in your book, was, we need you to be you. Someone needs to hear that. We need you to be you. Say more about that.
Yeah, this came to mind with some friends who had some funny text exchanges where the husband was texting for the wife, and he was talking like he talks in the text, but the receiver was expecting the wife, and how she uses emojis and exclamation points. And the receiver felt like maybe the friend was upset with her because of how the husband communicated. And it's like, we need to be ourselves, because it's confusing to people when we're not. And I think you being you in the whole scheme of the body of Christ is important, because we can't all be arms, like Paul said. We can't all be eyes. We need the variety to exhibit the whole fullness of who God is in his image. Is, and there's a verse that we get to, there's a various grace, various forms of grace. I feel like we get to show people various forms of grace because of those giftings where we show up. And it's beautiful.
So good. It's really true. I remember, you know, there's been times where I've asked Kev, well, I'm in the middle of something and my hands are full, will you answer this text for me? But I always remind him, remember Fluffy now, because he's so, you know, two-word answers, you know. And then when we're driving and I'm texting for him, he's like, no, Fluffy, don't text Fluffy for me. I don't do Fluffy. So you're right. We got to be us. Oh, I love that so much. That's funny. All right. So when we come back, we're going to pray. I've got about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 prayer requests in. We're going to pray for you. If you've got some that ways we can stand with you, and we might even just, you know, share some thoughts as we read these texts. If something that is helpful that we think God's giving us, we'll share that with you as well. Here's the number, 877-933-2484. More with Heather McFadden. We're going to pray together with you and for you in just a moment. Our spring fundraiser is officially finished, but there's still time to give. If you enjoy this podcast and want to fund more content just like this, make a gift now by following the link in the show notes or visit myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live. We've been talking about how to identify and fully occupy your God-given space. I remember, I don't know, 30 years ago when the Lord whispered that phrase to me, fill your space and run your race. Don't worry about everybody else's space. Figure out what the space is that I've entrusted you. Fill it with everything that you are and run your race. Keep your eyes on me. Heather McFadden's my guest today, and her book is Right Where You Belong, How to Identify and Fully Occupy Your God-Given Space. And you want in on the drawing. We've got 5 copies to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. So now we've got a good handful of prayer requests, if you don't mind. Let's see here. Heather, we've got this one who says, please pray for me. I'm not sure if I should stay at my job as a teacher. I'm good at my job. I'm just not sure it's where I'm supposed to be. This is from Jennifer. I wonder if you have any thoughts for Jennifer before we both pray for her.
Yeah, I think in these decisions, it's great to spend time with God. It's surprising what he reveals to us in those intimate moments with him, bringing maybe those boundary lines of the time and the place, your wiring and your experiences, and seeing and asking God, is teaching something you want me to continue to do? Is that the space you want me to continue to pursue? Are you drawing me into something else? And I think she and I could talk logically about it, but I think God, again, because he sees outside of time and because he knows what's coming in the future, he is gentle and kind to guide us. And I trust his voice when I ask him.
So would you pray for Jennifer?
Yeah. Lord, we lift Jennifer to you. We pray that you would meet with her and that you would guide her with wisdom and discernment to know the next step. of what space you're inviting her into, where you're working, and where you want her to join you. Amen.
And Father, too, I pray that you'd flood her with peace and a strong sense of what you're doing and where you're taking her. And I know there's times when the winds of change are blowing, and we see the wind blowing through the trees and we feel it, but we don't have a sense of the next step. But I think that is the time to loosen the tent stakes and to kind of get in neutral and to wait on you. And so I just pray for just a beautiful place of intimacy with you as she waits on you. And I pray for confirmation, Lord God. Wisdom's path is peace. In Jesus' name. Okay, this one says that she's feeling stuck in her marriage, not sure whether to stay or get divorced. Would you mind praying for this dear one?
And she hasn't given her name.
No.
Lord, I pray for this situation. I pray, Lord, that you would give supernatural guidance. We don't know the details of this situation. We know divorce is challenging and hard marriages are hard. And we pray, Lord, that you would be ever present, that your Holy Spirit would lead her, that people would surround her with truth and with guidance, that she would reach out to others to know what you're asking her to do. Lord, I pray, Lord, for just reconciliation. We proclaim that you are capable to restore and redeem all things. And whatever is stuck or hard right now, Lord, that you would bring clarity. And I just pray for peace over her heart in the midst of that. We know how hard and challenging it can be when relationships are disrupted. And I just I pray, Lord, for your presence and a comfort that we can't give, but that you can.
And friend, I hope you don't mind. You know, there's my hubby and I told our marriage story a while back. If you search on myfaithradio.com for Kevin and Susie, you'll find it. And I've said this before, and I feel responsible to say it again, that you can fall completely out of love with your spouse. You can even hold them in contempt as far as look at them and feel nothing but negative feelings. And God can resurrect that marriage. If you're in an abusive situation, that's totally different. But if you feel like you're in a dead situation, God is the one who brings the dead back to life. And I want you to get a vision for what that might look like. I really do pray you'd maybe listen to our story. We went into a place, my hubby was... bless his sweetheart, was a workaholic, and I tried and tried to communicate, and there was a point where I had no more feelings left, but then the Lord spoke to me about how to move forward towards him in the midst of my broken heart, and God, really, the wall started to come down, the scales came off, and we started to rebuild, and I love him more today than I've ever loved him, and I know so many stories, because I used to do a show on Focus on the Family with Greg Smalley, and we covered a lot on marriage, and he had so many stories of people who were... on life support in marriage, and God resurrected and made them a force. And so I always see marriage as a fortress. Every step you make towards marriage is a brick in this fortress where lots of people find shelter. And that's why the enemy is working so hard to demolish marriages. So I'm praying as Heather prayed, that God would surround you with people to shore you up and help you get unstuck. But we serve a God who brings the dead back to life, and pray that she would go forward with the Lord and trust that he's going to make a way where there's no way. All right. Let's see here. Oh, sorry. There's a number of them that came in. This Melissa says, just started a new church in our small town of 3,000. Please pray our church planting teammates will stay unified to our mission of loving God, growing up and serving all as we grow in number. Also that we accomplish our goal of reaching 10% of our community. That's beautiful. Would you pray for Melissa, Heather?
Lord, we lift up Melissa and this church community. We pray for a spirit of unity to fall on them. We pray for a united vision. We pray for united love, that others will know you because of their love for one another. We pray for those in the community to be drawn by the sweet aroma of that place, because it is so unique from every other place around it. And I pray, Lord, that you would encourage Melissa today, that she would have an encounter that reminds her of why they're doing what they're doing. And I thank you for them showing up in their community and inviting others into relationship with you.
Thank you, Lord. This dear one, anonymous, says that she lost her husband lost his mom 8 years ago to cancer, and she was her husband's best friend. So his faith has disintegrated over the years. And she said hers, on the other hand, has flourished over the years. And it's been frustrating on so many levels that he's not trusting God. says, thank you so much, so, for the message, because it's opening her eyes to see that God is strengthening her in this time to be present during this time and not so focused on why her husband isn't where she is at. That's incredible wisdom. I love that she got that revelation from this conversation, because even in that, she's going to find some wind in her sails and revelation from God. Any advice? And then if you'd pray for her, that'd be amazing.
You know, I can relate to her husband, actually, because my dad passed away suddenly, and I didn't recognize I was holding, I had a root of bitterness that God revealed to me when we were at a family camp. And it was just a moment of me confessing, God, I've been believing that you got it wrong. And I think often when we are in pain and grief, we can blame God as the cause for that. And that could be going on with her husband. I'm not saying it is, but just to give some compassion or perspective for her husband, that grief is very complex and suffering is hard. I think she's so wise to stay in her hoop and recognize her relationship with God and stay strong there. I think that's so good. So glad she got that from our conversation.
Would you pray for her husband?
Yeah. What was his name? Did she say?
I didn't catch his name. No.
Okay. And what was her name?
She didn't share her name either.
Oh, neither one. Neither one.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Lord, we pray for this man. We pray for the grief and the pain and the heartache of losing his beloved mother. We thank you for that relationship, Lord. We know where there is great love, there is great pain. And we pray, Lord, that his heart would be softened to turn to you instead of blaming you, to recognize that you love more than we can imagine, that you care more than we can imagine. And just because this happened doesn't mean you stopped loving or you stopped caring. I pray that he could recognize the belief he's having about you because of this, and that he would turn back to you, Lord, that you would that he would, that this would be redeemed, Lord, and he would find the healing he's actually looking for in his relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. This dear listener of ours, her name is Sherry. She's had been battling stage 4 lung cancer for a long time. But the girl, if I met her at one of my speaking events, is so full of life, so full of energy. She's raising her 4-year-old nefew while she's battling stage 4 cancer, and she feels good. Mm-hmm. And we still just, she's had some miracles along the way, but just really would love some prayer for just complete healing. I wonder, her name's Sherry. You'd love her. Wonder if you wouldn't mind. I'm keeping you busy, Heather. Keeping you busy.
I don't mind.
Yeah. All right. Would you pray for her?
Yeah, Lord, we bring Sherry to you. We pray with full belief that you can heal her body completely. Mm-hmm. We know that even in the waiting, that you are working and that you are growing in your relationship with her, that her dependency on you has grown, that she shines a light for you wherever she goes in the midst of her suffering. And yet, Lord, we pray that she would find relief and full comfort in her body. And even if that thorn in her flesh remains, that your strength would be made known in her weakness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah. There's one more, and since I have the benefit of looking at the clock, because we're coming on the countdown here, I'll pray for this one.
Okay.
This one is 70 years old. They have stage 4 cancer, struggling because they were diagnosed the same time as they were retired, so they don't have the strength to do what they want to do to serve God in retirement. I'm so sorry about that. And before I pray, I just want to encourage you to look up Believe Big. Evelise Page is a friend of mine who founded that ministry on fighting cancer. She had stage 4, was given a 7% chance of survival, and she's healthy as can be. And don't give up hope. And Father, I pray for a miraculous healing for this 70-year-old. 70 is still young. I pray, God, you give them miraculous healing and that they would live out their days in health, wholeness, and an abundance of fruitfulness, and that they would have vitality and strength to do the things you called them to do in retirement, Lord. We just reject that notion that enemy is stealing from them, and we just pray for a reversal of this diagnosis and for healing. Just asking, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, Heather, we've kept you busy. I just got about 45 seconds left, and so it has to be a short answer. But what would you say you know about God now, or at least more so now than you did 5 years ago?
I think I've seen him show up for me in our conversation. There's an intimacy that I've experienced in the last 5 years that I hadn't known prior, and that he is working at all times, and I'm invited to join him. And then whoever is listening to, whether you're at a hospital bed, whether you're changing a diaper, whether you're in a boardroom, he's there and he's with you.
So true, Heather. I feel the same way, that, you know, scripture says he merely breathed and the heavens came to be. He merely breathed and the heavens merely spoke. He merely spoke and the heavens came to be. And that he wants an intimate relationship with each of us is just mm-hmm. profoundly amazing.
Yeah.
Well, you are a dear, Heather. I want to thank you. We put you to work today and you stepped right into it. We pray a lot on this show. We love our listeners so much.
Love
so
it.
Thanks for coming along and ministering to them. And thank you for stewarding your gifts so well. We sure appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me, Susie.
All right. I hope our paths cross someday, Heather. Thank you so much.
Yes, again. Okay, mm-hmm. Bye.
All righty. And bless you for tuning in today. I pray you found some encouragement here. Remember what Heather said. God is with you, whether you're in the boardroom, in the doctor's office, wherever you are. He's with you, and he's an ever-present help in times of trouble. He wants to work through you in ways that are beyond you. Walk intimately with him. Trust him. Delight in him. And see what he does. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.